Dear ones, the message for today is that Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. Not just the gospel, but the gospel of the kingdom of God. Welcome to the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. I'm Pastor Schulze. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over the station. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll open the scriptures to us today, as you did open the scriptures to the disciples on the road to Emmaus 2,000 years ago. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now today our text is from the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark, and that's from verse 14. It says, "Now after the John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God." Last week I shared with you on Jesus' temptation. As soon as he had his anointing, an ordination for public ministry, our text says that the Spirit of the Lord drove Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. So before Jesus could preach his first sermon, before he could take his first step into the pulpit, he was called upon to confront evil, to demonstrate the power of God over all evil. Now when that was done, it says the angels of the Lord ministered unto him. And that is, the angels of God supplied him with whatever he needed. Since he was in a very desolate and forsaken area of the wilderness during his 40 days of temptations, there was no food there. So we can assume that the angels supplied him with food, even as they also supplied food for Elijah many years ago to prepare him for a long journey to meet God in the mountain of God. Or we remember how God supplied Israel with food from heaven 40 years ago. So now the angels strengthened Jesus physically. They took care of him physically. And then our text says from the Gospel of Luke on this matter that after the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him, from Jesus, for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. So the angels took care of his physical needs here, and the Spirit of the Lord took care of his spiritual needs to give him a fresh anointing for the preaching of the gospel. Unfortunately, we have too many preachers in our pulpits who have never been tried and tested, who never triumphed, and therefore the Lord cannot trust them with the power of the Spirit of God for the preaching of the gospel. Jesus was tried, tested, and he triumphed. Yes, my friend, if you have the itch to preach, you can go to Bible college or seminary to get yourself a ministerial degree, and you can get yourself ordained by other ministers who have done likewise, and you can get yourself a church. But the two things you cannot do, you cannot get an ordination from God, and you cannot get the power of God by simply asking for it. You cannot get it from man. It is one thing to get ordained by man. It's another thing to be ordained by God. It is one thing to preach in the power of men's wisdom, or by logic, or by rational argument, by beautiful illustrations, or by using marvelous demonstrations. It is another thing to preach in the power of the Spirit, the glorious gospel of the kingdom of God. Oh, would you pray with me that all of God's precious servants who are in our pulpits today, in our country, in other lands, would be faithful in the tests and trials that come to them through the powers of evil, that they can be anointed and empowered by the Spirit of the living God to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Pray for them, but also pray for me, that I likewise will not fail the Lord in this sacred assignment. Let us observe then that it does not say here in the Gospel of Mark that Jesus came to preach the gospel. We hear so much about preaching the gospel, but it says here that Jesus came to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. There are 101 references to the word gospel in the New Testament. You must always remember that the gospel is the gospel of the kingdom of God, and this gospel of the kingdom is always a gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So here in the first one-third of the first chapter of Mark, we have the kind of gospel that Jesus preached identified. It was the gospel of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ that he came to establish. We must never preach the gospel apart from the kingdom, but the gospel is the kingdom of God. This is also brought out in the Gospel of Matthew, the 4th chapter, where it says in verse 23, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." So, in the eyes of God, the kingdom of God is indelibly linked to the gospel. So Jesus proclaimed the new kingdom, a kingdom of the kind and nature that never existed before. He came to establish a new kingdom, and I want you to think back to the days of Samuel the prophet. And in Samuel, the first chapter, chapter 8, verse 4, the scriptures read like this, "Then the elders of Israel said unto Samuel, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." Israel, my friends, from its establishment as a nation under God in the Sinai desert, had never had an earthly king. God was her king. And this is one of the many marks that distinguished Israel from all other nations in the world. For 400 years, Israel was the only nation in the world that did not have an earthly king. She had a heavenly king. But after nearly 400 years of this, the people of Israel became restless, and they went to Samuel and asked him to anoint them a king, like other nations had an earthly king. Well, God is a gentleman. He said to Samuel and to the people of Israel, "My people have rejected me as king over them. Therefore, go ahead and give them an earthly king of their choosing." And so, from then on, for hundreds of years, Israel had all kinds of problems because they had an earthly king and they had rejected the heavenly king. Now, less than 1,000 years later, Jesus came along and he established a new kingdom. He dissolved, so to speak, the kingdom of Israel, and he became a king over a spiritual kingdom whose borders reach as far as the east is from the west and the north is from the south. A kingdom that would never end. A kingdom where everyone on the earth, Jew or Gentile, learned or unlearned, rich or poor, could enter. A kingdom that would in time replace all the kingdoms of the earth. This kingdom, my friend, was prophesied a long time ago, even in the days of Daniel the prophet. So in the book of Daniel, you see Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had a dream. He was troubled by the dream, and he wanted an interpreter for the dream. And he asked all the soothsayers and wise men to interpret the dream which he had. So all the magicians and astrologers and sorcerers gathered together for a solemn meeting. None was allowed not to be there. So when all of the wise men had gathered before the king, they asked the king, "Now, king, what was your dream so we can interpret it?" And the king said, "I forgot." Oh, the king forgot the dream. And so he said, tell me, you wise men, what did I dream? And then tell me what is the interpretation of this dream. And as the story unfolds, none of the magicians and sorcerers and wise men could tell the king what he dreamt. Then we get to the story of how Daniel was called before the king, and Daniel was given the dream that the king had dreamt by the revelation of God. And after he had received the dream, he told the king the meaning of this dream. Oh, my friend, this all points to our text of today, where it says, "And Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God." So then, what are the exact words that Daniel the prophet gave to the king? Well, it would take too long to read it all, so you can read it later on your own. It's in the second chapter of the book of Daniel. But let me give you the closing words of this dream, where Daniel says, quote, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Well, my friend, this refers to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Jesus, which Jesus began to preach when he came to earth, and to which Jesus invited people to come. So let me read this again from Daniel 2:44, the closing words of Daniel on the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. Quote, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever," unquote, and hallelujah. So Jesus, my friend, began to preach the gospel of the kingdom in the land of Israel, a kingdom which would never end, a kingdom which will eventually eliminate all other kingdoms in the world. Oh, yes, praise God. Throughout his whole ministry, our Lord went from village to village preaching the gospel of this kingdom. Now, in closing for today, how do we enter this kingdom of God, the spiritual kingdom, which gives us spiritual power, which puts us into the family of God? We enter this kingdom of God by first repenting of all our sins. This means we confess our sins, we're sorry for our sins, we repent, we forsake our sins, our sinful habits and our ways, and we begin to believe the gospel. That is what Jesus said in Mark chapter 1, saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Then, once we have repented and believed the gospel, we ask the Lord Jesus to come into our hearts that we might be born of God. And once we're born of God, then, Jesus said, we are able to see the kingdom, and we're able to enter the kingdom of God. And we enter the kingdom of God the same way all men have entered the kingdom of God throughout all the ages. We enter the kingdom of God by forsaking all to follow Jesus, making him Lord every moment of every day, the rest of our lives. When we've done that, my friend, we are in the kingdom of God. And then, once we're in the kingdom, of course, all others, our brothers and sisters, and when we meet one another, we recognize each other within seconds, or shall we say split seconds, because the marks of the kingdom are righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, and they are in all citizens of the kingdom of God. They are visible in the Spirit, they are discernible, and they are powerful to the effectual working within us to be fruitful instruments for the Lord in every station and circumstance of life. Aren't you glad, my friend, Jesus came 2,000 years ago so we can have this beautiful text today, which I shall read to you once again in closing. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Heavenly Father, we pray that you will open our eyes to see and open our ears to hear the marvelous things of the kingdom of God, which shall abide forever. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. In closing, I like to remind you that my devotional book, Abiding in Christ, The Essence of Christianity, is now available through your bookstore. Abiding in Christ is a 366 daily devotional, and here is what it says on the back cover of the book. Quote, "Fresh, vibrant Christianity must flow out of a life willing to deny itself. Take up the cross and follow Jesus," declares Pastor Reimer Schulze. This devotional book is inspired by the Holy Spirit to bring to light the practical things that hinder a close fellowship with Jesus Christ. You will find yourself recognizing attitudes, motives, relationships, and reactions that are keeping you from complete inner fulfillment. You will be challenged by this book to live in obedience to the voice of Jesus, to wait upon him, and to seek first his kingdom. As you learn to abide in Christ, you will find true righteousness, peace, and joy in your daily life. Unquote. Dear ones, if you've enjoyed my radio broadcast, you will so much more enjoy Abiding in Christ, now available through your bookstore. Thank you for listening to the Called Obedience Radio Ministry. Goodbye now, until next week.